You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, there tends to be a big difference between the women depicted in media and advertising versus the general population. While those standards were unrealistic for most women before, a researcher tells us they may be getting worse. Right now, it's time for our Wisconsin News Roundup. We're checking in with a few different reporters from around the state about the stories they've been covering. First, a Schwabenon-based retailer Shopko announced last month that it's closing all of its department stores by this June. But Shopko's optical business is likely to stay in operation after it was purchased by a capital firm at auction last week. Jeff Bollier is a reporter for the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Rob, thanks for having me.
Well, we had this auction of the optical department at Shopko. What happened? What came out of that?
Well, so what we had over last weekend was Monarch Alternative Capital LP, an investment firm based out of New York City, bid $8.5 million in cash plus a few other considerations for the optical business, with an eye towards slowly transitioning it out of the Shopko big box stores and hometown stores and into their own standalone locations.
Is this a done deal? You wrote that still this has to be approved, right, by a judge overseeing the bankruptcy?
Yeah, so this is part of a bankruptcy case, so the judge has to approve all sales and transactions to try and generate money for the bankrupt company Shopko's Estates. So the judge has to sign off on it, and several landlords and other companies that Shopko owes money to, they kind of said, you know, we want to see final details and terms of this purchase before we decide whether we want to object to it. So there were some tentative concerns that they shared in a hearing on Thursday, but it does seem like most of the details have been ironed out at this point.
So for people who get their glasses and contacts at Shopko, and it sounds like there's a goodly number of those people, if
yes,
this
indeed
all works out as planned, what is this going to look like for them?
So Monarch's plan is to transition from Shopko stores, the optical business, out of those big box locations and into much smaller retail spaces. They hope to run about 84 standalone locations in 80 cities, and roughly about half of those will be in Wisconsin. So as Shopko, the store, kind of downsizes from its much larger, wider spread footprint, the optical business will be a little bit more regional, though it will spread across 10 to 12 states in the Midwest and West.
And this would save some, though obviously not all, of the jobs being lost at Shopko.
Yes, this would save about, they estimate about 700 jobs. It is hard to tell exactly how many, depending on if employees have found other places to work or other jobs at this point, but they estimate that this could save about 700 jobs out of the roughly 14,000 to 15,000 employees that Shopko had across its stores.
Jeff, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
That's Jeff Bollier, reporter for the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Now we move on to a story out of Port Washington. The city's Catholic parish, St. John the 23rd, recently fell victim to a financial scam that cost it $510,000. This comes as the parish is building an expansion onto one of its schools. Chris Halbig-Zeem is the Port Washington reporter for the Ozaukee Press. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now tell us how this Port Washington parish came to get scammed, basically, of so much money.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Nobody seems to be quite sure how they were targeted, and I think that's part of what the police investigation is focusing on. But it's a very, very sad situation for the parish.
But it sounds like, and I guess this is something that any person or any business could be targeted by, somebody, what, pretended to be their construction contractor?
Correct. The parish received a letter purporting to be from the contractor saying, hey, we just changed banks. Here's our new payment information. This is where you should send it. Here's our account number, et cetera. And a few days later, someone called and said, hey, I'm from your construction company's accountant's office, and I just want to make sure you got our letter because I want to make sure, you know, all the numbers are straight. You know, they checked the account numbers. And so when the parish made its next payment on its construction project, they thought everything was fine. And then they got a call from the bank, apparently, saying, hey, this might be fraud. You better check on it. And the whole thing unraveled.
And you talked to somebody, an investigator, I think it was, from the Better Business Bureau. I mean, $500,000 scam. This is not your garden variety scam. This is a big deal, even to somebody who watches this kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. When I told her the amount of money, I mean, her first reaction was just, oh, my God, I can't believe that. It's just, it's horrible. And especially to prey on a church where, you know, these are funds that were raised from parishioners to add on to their school. And, you know, it's just awful.
I was looking at the church's website, and obviously they're talking about this and worried about this. What kind of reactions are you hearing from the church itself and parishioners?
The church is just in shock. I mean, I think one of the parishioners I spoke to, one of the members of the school board, might have said it best. He just said this was a kick in the gut.
And finally, I mean, I guess there's no way to predict this for sure, but what is the timeline for an investigation like this to try to track down who's responsible for this huge act of fraud?
The police chief told me that these sorts of investigations are lengthy, and no one knows what the outcome will be. The Better Business Bureau investigator I spoke to said that, you know, often these are overseas scams. Often these things are, you know, they're just gone. The money's just gone. And the police chief said, you know, they're working with the FBI, they're working with the U.S. Attorney's Office, they've got search warrants out there, they've got subpoenas out there, but it's going to be timely. It's going to take time, and no one knows what the end result will be.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
That was Chris Helbig-Zeem, Port Washington reporter for the Ozaukee Press. And finally, Wisconsin's Conservation Congress recently released the collected results of its spring survey, with thousands of people weighing in on environmental and wildlife issues. One of the big issues in the survey was how to deal with chronic wasting disease in the state's deer population. Daniel Kading is a reporter for WPR News based in Superior. Danny, welcome back.
Yay, thanks.
Well, several measures in this to combat CWD that got some support in this survey. What kind of ideas were on the table here?
Well, one of them was a pilot program called Payment for Positives, which would include offering incentives, a reward to kill deer infected with chronic wasting disease. So they supported that. The initial results came out as a majority in support of it, but they realized that there was an error in merging the online results with the spring hearing results. But people were still in favor of that idea of offering, in essence, a bounty to kill infected deer.
I understand the state had tried, Danny, a similar Payment for Positives program a little over a decade ago and abandoned that. Is there a thought that it would be different this time around?
Yeah, well, they're hoping that it might be different this time around because they'd be offering more money, for one. At least that's what the person who proposed this, Mike Foy, a retired DNR biologist, hopes. But also, an emeritus professor with UW-Madison says it could possibly work if you targeted the right deer, because essentially, how do you tell if a deer is sick or not? It doesn't show up right away. But he said adult bucks show the highest prevalence of the disease. And in some places, it's as high as 50%. So if you went after adult male deer, it could possibly work.
Now, the Congress making a vote like this doesn't put a thing into practice. How much weight does a survey like this of members have with the DNR or the state legislature?
Well, this is pretty unique. The DNR points out that, you know, other states don't have this kind of model where you're having a group of citizens provide direct input to the agency that creates rules to govern wildlife and fishing regulations. So this input will be taken into account as they develop those rules.
Now, we've got this, Danny, spread of chronic wasting disease has been going on for a couple decades now. What are we hearing lately from lawmakers and the governor about their plans to tackle this?
Well, there's been a lot of criticism of Governor Tony Evers lately because there was no funding included in his budget to tackle chronic wasting disease. He says they want to collect more information, more research before they develop a comprehensive strategy to address it. Republicans want to see something done. They don't feel, though, according to the Associated Press, Senator Tom Tiffany was interviewed, and he said he's not sure that a bounty program is the right way to go.
And in general, with the members of the Conservation Congress looking at the different items they voted on, there is definite interest in CWD, right? This is something they have on their minds.
Yeah, because another one of the proposals that was on there was a statewide baiting and feeding ban, which is something that DNR Secretary Preston Cole has questioned recently, that why would we do this? Because when you have crowding of deer, there's a more likely possibility that you could transmit the disease. So they want to see that done away with.
Danny, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Danielle Kading, WPR's reporter based in Superior, with us to talk about results from the latest survey by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and to wrap up our weekly review of news from around the state.